So this time of year, I love Christmas. I really do. It's especially exciting in our household because with our two young girls, they're at that age now where they're starting to know about like Christmas presents. So they get wrapping paper and they know what to do with it. And so they're tearing it all off. They're not very good at reading though. So they don't know whose present's whose. They just unwrap everything they see. But it's great fun. I can kind of tell that I'm getting older because the presents I receive are like are things that I kind of need. So like socks is a great present for me at the moment. Or like T-shirts and all this Xbox nonsense. Not that. Socks. That's the key. Any good dad presents out there? Or any good presents in general? You can shout them out. You got a watch. Hey, hopefully. Any others? Yes. Oh, an iPad mini. iMac mini. So, iMac Air and Air. Great. Yep. Oh, lovely. Bible study. Let's go. And Lee, what you got? Oh, a new watch as well. Lovely. It's good, isn't it? It's always good to get good Christmas presents. I can also tell I'm getting older because those Christmas cracker jokes, I tell you, I'm starting to enjoy those. So, here's a couple for you. What's the difference between the Christmas alphabet and the normal alphabet? In the Christmas one, there's Noel. Noel, get it? Noel. So, what do you call people who are afraid of Santa Claus? Claustrophobic. Hey. No? Okay, what about, what do you call an obnoxious reindeer? Rudolph. Ooh. Anyway, when I was growing up, I never believed in Santa Claus because I knew that there'd be no white man coming into my neighbourhood after dark. I tell you. Hey, we got one. Hey. I should write the Christmas cracker ones. Anyway. I can get away with it, you see, apparently. So this morning, haven't we had a great worship time? It's brilliant, isn't it, to come and worship God and to come together in this new venue. And I'm glad that everyone found us. It is our first meeting here in this building, as we've kind of heard about. But I do want you to know that this is not it. You know, we are looking for a permanent building. And if you've come and you thought, oh, it's a bit cold, it's a bit chilly, stick with us. You found the right church for you. And it's great. And each week we do preach from the Bible. And we'll be starting our new series in Mark next week. But today we get to hear testimonies from God, from these people, about what God has done in their lives. And it's my hope that this year, as we hear these testimonies, that would give us faith, hope, courage for the future ahead, whatever we're facing. So, you know, there's not been one day that's gone by in my life where God hasn't provided for me. And there's been moments where I've felt that I needed something and not received it, but there's not been one day where God has not provided for everything I need. So even the air that I breathe, the clothes that I might be wearing, the food that I might eat, he has provided everything. And it's good to come and give thanks to God for all those things. And it's good to look back because that gives us hope for the future. And so that's what we're going to be doing. And we all have something to be thankful for. We've heard many people already coming forward and giving thanks to God for all that he's done. And as a church, lots happened in the last year. Just to name a couple, we started the Midhurst site, launched that publicly in October, and it's doubled in size since we first started. We've also employed two new staff members, which I must say are just fantastic, I'll tell you. Well, at least one of them is, and that's Nettie, who works in administration. The other one's me, and I'm loving it. I'm really enjoying being part of the church here, which is great, and I'm working for it. We've supported the Syrian Refugee Fund through our Midhurst Family Garden Party and through the Christmas carols. And I'm pleased to say that just before Christmas, we received a Christmas card back that said that from the Midhurst Family Garden Party, with the money that we raised, there was two people that had been really badly injured over in Syria, and they were able to provide new limbs for those people and give them all the physio and everything that's needed to restore them back to full health. And so isn't that brilliant that we could do that? And yeah, it's good. And also with that, then from the Christmas carols over the three sites, we raised around £2,000, including gift aid, which is amazing. Yeah, pretty well done, you guys. It's great. And that's going to be able to do even more than what we were able to do from the Midhurst Family Garden Party. So well done. We've got much to look forward to in 2016. We've got lots of... And just one is that Grace Church, in Chichester here, will be 10 years old. Hey. So we get to celebrate that in June, and I'll be looking forward to celebrating that with everyone. But I am aware that for some people, going into 2016, it can be tough. And we can face difficult times, we can know hardship, and so therefore the prospect of looking into 2016 could actually be a daunting one for some of us. I know this last year we've had people that have been diagnosed with cancer, or there's people that have lost people in their lives, or lots of kids seem to be getting broken bones just in that last autumn term. There can be hardship, and that can be tough for some people. And so, if you click on, I just want us to focus on some words that Paul wrote to the Philippian church while he was in prison. He was facing persecution, and he was going through a really tough time. And he starts his book by saying these words: "I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it into completion until the day of Christ Jesus returns." So how does Paul start? By praising God. And that's exactly what we did today. We start by praising God, thanking him with our prayers we're going to thank him again for all the things that we hear from these people's testimonies, but we thank him for the church. That's what Paul did. He thanked them for the Philippian church. And regardless of the circumstances that we may face, the things that change in our lives, we thank God because he remains the same. And this hope, where's it come from? It comes from Jesus. It's through him, by his power of the Holy Spirit. And so knowing that what God has done and started and been doing in our lives, we can look forward to the future, knowing that he's going to follow it on to completion. And so that's the type of things we'll be hearing today. And it might be that you're not a Christian. It might be that you don't know that for your own life. And I'll just encourage you to listen in, hear what these people are saying that God has done in their lives over this last year. And if you've got questions at the end, do come and speak to me. Come and say hello. Don't, you know, go and speak to someone that you've come with. Don't leave without having chatted to someone. So this morning, we will hear these different testimonies. They're going to be from different people at different stages. And some are still in the midst of hardship. Some have come through it, and we can rejoice with that. And all of them, what unites them all is not the difficulties that might face, but it's their faith and trust and hope in Jesus. So these guys, they've been briefed. They've got no more than sort of four or 5 minutes. And I will stand up if they go too long with them. So they know that. But why don't you click on? Let's hear some testimonies. So we're going to start off with Ashley. Why don't you come, Ashley? Let's give her a Grace Church welcome.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Morning. Okay, this is supposed to obviously be a 2015 testimony, but this actually started about 5 years ago and then ended in 2015. So at our Christmas show, the Grace Church Christmas show 2 years ago, Dave and I stood up and we were doing these cardboard testimonies and held up a sign. And on one side it said, "Two miscarriages, hearts broken." And on the other side it said, "But knowing that God's plans are good and perfect." And at that point, just for a bit of background, Dave and I had been trying to start a family for 3 years. So it had already been going for a long time. And the morning after we had our first miscarriage, I stood in the shower and I was kind of in a bit of shock. And the only thing I could pray was just, "I trust you, Lord." And I did. And I didn't understand what was happening or what was going on, but I knew that God's plans for us were perfect, even if they just seemed mental to us at the time. And the following weeks and months, as grief kind of really kicked in, I found that I had just nothing really to pray with. And it wasn't that I was mad at God or that I was pushing him away. I was just kind of empty. And I remember sort of just praying several times, "Lord, just bear with me. I will be back. I just can't do this right now." And dealing with that grief and that sort of uncertainty of the future was really hard. And it was during that time that I realized that I had to find things that were true, that were the truth, and really hold on to them, like hold on to them with all my might. And there were a couple of Bible verses that stayed with me. The famous, obviously, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then the other one, which is a bit less famous, but I just think awesome. And it's Psalm 139. And it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then it goes on and says, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And through those verses, God just gave me unbelievable comfort because they're amazing. And although we didn't understand what was happening, he knew every single day of our baby's lives and what, you know, he formed them for purpose, even though we didn't know what that was. And although I couldn't pray, I carried on just worshipping. And through that, God just began to heal, as he always does. I think the problem in many ways is no one ever talks about miscarriage or infertility, and you only ever hear that people are pregnant when they kind of get to that safe stage. So for many people, they actually have no idea that actually one in five pregnancies ends in miscarriage, and that's massive. And so for example, for Dave, when he found out, when we had our first one, he was so shocked, he just literally didn't believe it, couldn't believe it was actually true. So for Dave and I, we decided early on that we would talk about it, which is how we found ourselves up on stage 2 years ago. And it wasn't something that we really wanted to do particularly, but God really laid on our hearts that we needed to do it. And at that point, we didn't sort of have a happy ending to share particularly, but we didn't think we were, to be honest, but we knew that God wanted us to do that, and so we did. And the following couple of months were absolutely remarkable. It was amazing. People in our church, this church, who we didn't even know, began to pray for us and would come up to us and encourage with us. Whole life groups of people who, again, we just didn't really know very well, came up to us and told us that they'd been praying for us. And this is just amazing. And, you know, God promises us loads of absolutely incredible, amazing things. But he doesn't necessarily promise to give everyone children. And that's just a fact. For some people, he has other plans. And those plans are also good and perfect. So I began after a little while to change my prayer for asking God for a baby to actually asking him to change my heart to be in line with what his will for us was in life. But he didn't do that. And instead, 2 years later, 2015 was the year of the absolutely scrumptious Eva. So that was just absolutely amazing. The most incredible answer to prayer. And it was such a long journey. But I just wanted... There were just two really important lessons I just want to, that God just really taught us. The first thing was that just don't wait for like the bad things to happen before you turn to your Bible. You need to know the truth, those truths beforehand. It needs to be your absolute foundation, because when those things happened, like, we just had no strength of our own and we had to rely on that foundation which we had. And the other thing is that if you're struggling with this or something like this, then, you know, I just recommend that you share it with someone, a godly person who you love and trust, and they'll stand through you when you're ready. And I'm not saying, you know, stand up in front of the whole church and tell them, because that's not going to be right for everyone either. But there are people in this room who love you and want to pray with you, and God will just honour you through doing it and bless you in however it is. So, you know, 2015 was a really pretty cool year for us. It was a combination of 5 years of waiting and praying and hoping, and to our amazement, God, you know, he didn't just answer our prayers, which we knew he didn't just hear our prayers, which he knew he would, but he actually answered them as well. So it's exciting. Yeah, that's it.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ashley. Isn't that good? Eh? You know, going before God and just submitting your heart before him and saying, you know, however you might answer this prayer, you know, I will follow you, and I love that. And that's great, Ashley. It's great seeing little Eva as well too. And also just let you know that every Tuesday we do pray as elders. And on those response sheets that we fill out each week, there's a bit where you can write in your prayer request, and we pray for people each week. So if you want us to pray for you, we will do. And we will do that every Tuesday. Right. Shall we welcome up Sean Mayer? Right.
Hi. I'm very nervous. Please bear with me. Right. So I grew up in the church and I gave my life to God at a young age. And I was a really outgoing and happy child. I would talk to anybody and I'd make friends really easily. Then something happened and I completely changed. Just after I finished university, I lost both of my grandparents very quickly, and this affected me in a big way. I lost my confidence and my outgoing nature. I built off massive walls around my heart to avoid being hurt. I started to bottle up my emotions. I ran away from God, and I started to drink, and I drank a lot. Whenever I felt stressed or overly emotional, I'd reach for a drink to cope rather than talking to anyone. This destructive and unhealthy behaviour continued for many years. Then, just under 2 years ago, something happened that made me question everything. At the age of 26, I had a breast cancer scare, and I can tell you that I was terrified. I spent a month seeing doctors and having tests done. I was struggling with my emotions and with letting people in, and I was questioning what I was doing with my life. Luckily, I was given the all clear, and I began to move on, but something had started to change. About 6 months after this, one of my colleagues died unexpectedly. She was a healthy 29-year-old who passed away during childbirth. Fortunately, the baby survived, but the whole situation shook me to my core. I wasn't particularly close to this woman. I knew her at work and through social media, but it really made me stop and question a lot of things. While all this was going on, I bumped into my good friend Catherine at work. It was really unexpected, and we just stood and talked for a while. Catherine can tell that something was going on with me, so she invited me to Grace, and I said yes. She thought I might come maybe once or twice and then bail like I have before. So just over a year ago, I came to Grace. After the meeting, I stayed for the students and 20s lunch. And as I was talking to Catherine, she suggested I do the Alpha course that was starting the next day. And I thought, why not? So the next day, I found myself at Alpha. And after about 3 or 4 weeks, I started to find answers. So I kept coming on Sunday mornings, and I kept doing Alpha. And when Alpha finished, I signed up for Beta. And I started to feel like I belonged at Grace. So I did the membership day and became a member. And then I joined the Energize team and found the joy in serving the church. Then when Beta finished, I signed up for Freedom in Christ, which is one of the most challenging and rewarding things I've done. It helped me to take a look at my life and my behaviour and see how destructive it was, and it gave me the tools to start to change. Since I found Grace, I've been challenged, but I've also found love and encouragement and support, and I've begun to heal. But most importantly, I found my way back to God.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sean. Isn't that brilliant? And I don't need to plug Alpha, Beta, Freedom in Christ, and membership. Come and get involved. Come and get stuck in. It's great to hear all that has gone into Sean's life. Okay, we'll keep moving. We've got a few more. Matthew Scott.
All right, good morning. My name's Matthew. I'm married to Linda, who's sat over there. This month, it's 10 years since I first came to Grace Church, and as Margaret. Margaret, sitting just over here, was the first person to welcome us on that very first day in Jubilee Hall in Oving Village. And Margaret's still here, and we're still here. 10 years, we'll give you another 10 years to see if we like it. But it's good. It's a good place to be. We love being here in Grace Church. About 16 months ago, we had a visitor from Ford Prison. That was Tony, the chaplain. And he came and talked to us about the ministry that he was operating in Ford Prison. From that, we set up in Grace Church a prison alpha training course. And from that, just a year ago, it was January this time last year, when we first went into Ford Prison on Sunday evenings and began an alpha course. To me, prison was not something I would ever have thought of being involved in. You know, prisoners are, you know, they've done something wrong, they're over there, leave them over there. That would have been part of my attitude. Let them finish their sentences, let them, you know, learn their lesson there. So that would have been the attitude that I might well have expressed some time ago. But we did the alpha training. We went and did an alpha course. And during the alpha course, I sat back a little bit. There was an opportunity to give a talk or two. But no, I really want to sit back and just see what happened, how things worked, what the dynamics of the place were. We ran a whole Alpha course. We did a Holy Spirit Day, which is all day on a Saturday. And it was great. There were lots of people making responses. I think on one of our best evenings, there was something like 28 prisoners who came along to that Alpha evening. Prison is strange. It's got a lot of very strange dynamics. There are all sorts of rules and regulations. There are things you can do. There are things you can't do. There are ways that you can behave and ways that you can't behave. We were very well guided by Andy Nichols, who is a prison chaplain. And I was impressed with the way that sometimes he spoke directly to the guys there. He told them exactly what the gospel was. There was no compromise. It was, you know, you've sinned and you need to repent. And that's great to hear the gospel being preached in that way. The men were incredibly grateful that people like us had come into the prison on a regular basis to talk to them, to pray with them, to work with them, just to be there. And for them, that's incredible that Christians from around go in, visit and talk. From the Alpha course, we started a discipleship course on a Monday evening. The discipleship course went through Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, be content, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And from there, we went on to a life group. And in that life group, we have the chance to study, we have the chance to discuss, we have the chance to pray. The other evening, we were leaving on a Monday evening. Somebody pulled up in a car beside us in the car park, jumped out, spoke to Wendy and me, and said, would you pray for me? It was a prisoner coming back from his day out at work. He said, would you pray? This is 8:30 at night in a pitch black car park. And we just laid hands on him and prayed very quickly for him. It's been a great opportunity at Ford Prison. It's been a chance for me to preach. I've preached twice on Sunday evenings. It's a chance for me to expand the ministry that God is developing in me. And part of that is actually doing the commission foundation leadership course, where we go along for 2 days once a month. And there I'm really beginning to learn to know God more. And that's what I want for this coming year, to know God more, to expand that ministry in the prison, to bless the guys there, to bless you as a church, and to bless my God and Saviour.
Brilliant. Well, we thank you, Matthew, for that. Yeah, it's great to hear, isn't it, about all that's going on in terms of the prison work. There's lots of different grace works that we do as a church here, including work with Food Bank, with Options, Crisis Pregnancy, in the prison, and many others, which, you know, when you start naming things, you will forget, don't you? But even work here in the school, we've been doing things here in the school, and there's lots of opportunities to get involved in things. So do get in touch with us if there is more that you want to get involved in. Okay, so our next testimony is going to be a little bit different. And some of you will know that one of our members has been out in Turkey for the last four years. In Turkey, yeah, out in Turkey for the last 4 years. And his name's Josh Garraway, and he's going to just come and share a little bit about the things that have been going on over these last 4 years. So let's give him a great round of applause.
Hi, good morning. It's great to be back here. I've realised I've been a member of Grace for about 8 years now, so yeah, it's really cool to be back and yeah, to see you all. So my name's Josh, as you just heard, and my wife, Minkyong, is just over there. We live in Turkey, in the capital Ankara. We're part of a small church, around 100 people. And so I want to share quickly about the ministries I'm involved in as part of that. The main ministry I'm involved in is called Philippus. If you could put the first slide on. So, I don't know if you can see very easily, but Philippus is a ministry training program for Turkish-speaking believers. And so, it's like a bit like a Bible school, but with more of a focus on getting experience in ministry and also character formation. So, my job is to manage the ministries which the students are involved in. We had the graduation in November. So, there we heard lots of stories from the different students. And one I'd really like to share about particularly is a guy called Gabriel, which is the next slide. That one. Yeah, so Gabriel, he's from the east of Turkey, from an Orthodox village. And his family was the first family to start reading the Bible in the village. The Orthodox Church doesn't really encourage people to read the Bible personally, but he was the first person to start doing that. And then he came as a student, and he's just done really well. We've been really amazed at how he's gone on. They all do placements, like a three-month placement as part of the year-long training program. And so he went to Adana in the south of Turkey, in the southeast, and he's planning to go back there to serve with the church after that. So that's a really cool, thing. Next is a ministry that started this year in our church. Could I have the next slide? Yeah, we, as you know, in Turkey, there are about 2.5 million refugees at the moment. So as a church, we started praying, like, God, well, how do you want us to deal with this? What can we do as a church to help this crisis? And we came up with a simple system to distribute aid to refugees. So the refugees come to the church, they get registered. Each person's given a number. And then when their number gets called, they come and pick up aid. So we've made food packets. Each packet has lentils, pasta, rice, oil, salt and sugar. And so we started off, I think the first week gave out about 20 packets. And then it just completely snowballed out of control. Like, it felt like we were part of this just overwhelming thing that was going on. We started getting to the point where we needed to move out into a new building because there just wasn't enough space. So now we've got a new building. And we've had that about 2 months now. And we're distributing about 500 packets a week now. And we have about 5,000 people registered with the program, which is just completely getting out of control. And we've also got other churches coming and helping in Ankara. And so it just feels like we're part of this overwhelming thing that's completely out of control. But we're doing a bit of clothing distribution. Also, we want to do some language courses because lots of people, they think they're just going to come for a few years, but a lot of people stay for 6-7 years and their kids need to go to school. So we want to teach Turkish to some of the kids and also some craft stuff like sewing and stuff to some of the women. So we'd love, if you could pray for this would be really great. There's one more picture. This happened a few weeks ago. This was the situation. It got a bit, there's a health and safety issue, to be honest. And we had about 500 people just crowded around the building. And so we've had to kind of figure out how we can kind of stem the tide a bit and sort of, because it was dangerous, but yeah. There's a huge need, and we're only meeting a small part of that. But if anyone wants to get involved, please let me know. If you'd like to come and see what's going on, or if you'd like to give some money, or just talk to Steve or one of the other elders. Yeah. Thank you.
We're just going to quickly pray for Josh. Is that all right? He's a member of our church. He's been out there for 4 years. Ming Kyung, his wife, come here, Ming Kyung, as well. We did the wedding, which is a joy. And we as a church, we help fund Josh every month. I know some of you give directly as well through the church, and we do too. So this is something, you might not quite realize it, but when you give to Grace Church, you give to this, because you give to support this man and his wife out in Turkey. Does that make sense? It's easy to miss these. All these newsletters are on the website, inside the members section, because it needs security. But we're going to pray. Is that all right? So I just want to invite you, everyone, you stretch out your hands, just in your heart, pray your best prayer for this couple, and then I'm going to pray here as well. Yeah. Just let's pray. Come on, let's lift our voices, bring him before the Lord. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the work that you are doing through Josh and through Ming Kyung and others out there in Ankara, in Turkey. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Philippus training program. We thank you for the food distribution. We thank you, Lord God, for clothing distribution. We thank you for all the many coming in and other churches getting involved. But Lord, most of all, I pray that you'd help them to shine the light for Jesus out there in Turkey. Lord Jesus, I pray you bless and protect this couple, bless their marriage, help them with all the language stuff they're doing and learning for themselves and teaching others. Lord, we ask that there would be great gospel fruit in Turkey through this ministry. Lord Jesus, we thank you for them. We pray your protection, your blessing on them. Help us to remember to pray for them through the year. I pray, Lord Jesus, that your anointing would be upon them, and that Turkey, Lord, many, many people would come to faith in Christ. Refugees, Lord, local people, I pray for gospel breakthrough and your protection and your love and blessing on them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's brilliant, mate. Let's give them a clap. And I'll hand back to Chris.
Great.
Wonderful. Cheers, Josh. That's great. Actually, just a quick one. I remember when I first, me and Catherine went out to visit Josh a few years back, and he'd only been there for about 6 months. And we were just amazed because he was like speaking fluently in Turkish and showing us all around. And it was unbelievable. God is doing amazing work for you two. So well done. It's brilliant. So next we've got Jonathan Peel. Peel, is he here? He is. Hey, great.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, I'm quite nervous. But, right, when Chris asked me to do a testimony, I wasn't sure whether to say yes or no. He said it was to help to inspire people to go into the new year. I've been waiting for 2016, and it feels like a big changing point for me. A lot of things have happened to me since this time last year. 2015 was a very hard year. I spent a lot of time on my own, and after getting divorced and going through a bad separation, losing my house, my old life, and things that the changes that have happened to me, you kind of bottom out and you feel that the world is against you and that God is far away. It's very easy to drop off the radar and shut the world out. At the time, it felt like I was standing in a very deep, dark cave, and the only light was a small candle flickering in the distance. I had to keep my head up and concentrate on that light for the sake of the kids and my sanity. Everyone at church was so understanding and helpful, and each Sunday I made the point of bringing the kids. Bringing the kids to church, where they love all their friends here, and it gave them some normality in their lives. Each Sunday, when the kids were at Sparklers, I would sit and listen to the preachers, and there was always something that grabbed me and inspired me for the week ahead. And each week, the little candlelight got brighter and brighter. And with prayer and God in my heart, life got easier and easier. I feel in life that sometimes you have to take the rough with the smooth, but God is always there. And however far away he feels, he is there. I have grown to trust him more and to speak to him more. And he has helped me so much to stay focused and to be at peace with my past so that I can move on in the future. My prayers have been answered, but you cannot always see it straight away. But he has been looking after me very well. 2016 is going to be an exciting year, as I've been blessed with two beautiful children that keep me very busy. I've also met someone very special who has picked me up, supported me in my faith, makes me happy, and has shown that a broken heart can be fixed, a true blessing from God. I've just finished the Alpha course, and even though I've been a Christian for a while, I've got a lot out of it. I've never been a big reader, and I've started to use my Bible as a tool rather than a big scary book. There is so much in there to encourage and support you with any problem, and if in doubt, have a read. I am looking forward to 2016 with God by my side, and have got this far in my life, and feel with him there, I can take on whatever life throws at me in the future.
So just hearing that, it just reminds me that, you know, church, it's not just a religious club that we come to once a week on a Sunday. It's a relationship with God. It's real. It's something. It's not like a belief system. It's a belonging system. We belong to a creator of the universe who cares about us and who knows us and who wants us. And although life isn't always easy and it changes, actually, he does promise, doesn't he, to stand by us and stick with us. And it's great to hear that testimony. Thank you, Johnny. Okay, so next we've got young guy, Rob. He's going to come up, Rob Pearson. So, yeah, do come up, Rob. And great.
Hello. I've been coming to Grace Church since March now. And first of all, I'd like to say a really big thank you to everyone because you're just so nice and welcoming and friendly. And it's probably the reason I stayed here and not thought you were a bunch of weirdos. But yeah, it's been really good. Before coming to Grace Church, I went to a Church of England church with my parents. But it wasn't really me going because I wanted to make a relationship with God. It was just me going because that's where my parents went. And that all changed when I got invited to Grace Church and I came here. And I, after coming for a few weeks, I thought, yeah, I want to make a go of this myself. So I came even more. And you've just all been really friendly, and that's why I stayed. I did my A-levels this summer, and I hadn't applied for university, so I was applying for jobs as a trainee accountant. I applied for maybe 6 or 7 firms, but most of them said no, and I only got one reply, an interview, which is now where I work. When I started getting rejections and replies, I felt a little bit disheartened. So I prayed a little bit, but I didn't really understand, and it didn't occur to me how much praying and God could make a change to getting something like a job. And it wasn't until someone pointed out to me that maybe God just wanted you in this one place, which is why you only got one reply. So, yeah. sorry. Since then, I've continued to make steps in my faith. One way was by attending the ALF course, which is just really great because it gives you a chance to talk and discuss about God and where we all fit in. And yeah, that's what I've done this year.
Right, well done. There you go, Rob. Wonderful. Typical teenage lad, eh? Great. Brilliant. Great. It's good, isn't it? It's great. It's really great, Rob. Thanks for coming to share that. It's good to hear. You know, again, God's not just in all the extremes of life, but also in, you know, in the jobs, in the health, in the, you know, in the everyday, in the kids, in everything, isn't he? So that's good. We've got 2 more. Well done. We're doing well, aren't we? Good, aren't we? It's good. It's building my faith. Hope it's yours too. So next we've got TT. Where's TT? Hey! Wonderful.
Praise God. I might be a bit nervous, so bear with me. My name is TT Lyle. I'm married to Ola. We've been blessed with 3 beautiful children. In 2013, after the birth of our daughter, I was diagnosed with postnatal psychosis. If you don't know what that means, that's like very severe mental health disorder. Could be caused by hormonal imbalances when you're pregnant or stress. But there were so many other things going on in my life, at work, with family and the baby, that could have led to it. It's a very scary illness. And somehow, after being in and out of hospital for so many times, and support from the church and friends and family, we got over that. And I was looking positive, looking forward to 2014. So 2014 was a good year. My Bible was like my partner, and I just kept being positive, and I was healing through that. And that was fine. But in 2015, in January, everything just sort of went wrong. It just came back. And this time, it wasn't just physically ill now. I was very emotionally depressed. Nothing just seemed to be working with the children. The house was just always in a mess. I wouldn't have my bath. I couldn't just do anything. I was just so depressed. Not emotionally, physically, my body just shut down. And I didn't really understand, because I thought I had healed through 2014. So that just went on. I couldn't do anything. Thank God for my husband. He sort of bridged the gap. And thank God for the friends at church as well, people that brought meals and prayed for us. It was just, I was in such a dark place. I couldn't see myself coming out. I could see myself and how I was. And I just thought, the way I am now, I can never be myself again. It was just, every time I tried to read the Bible, I usually did that. I'll open random and I'll get an encouragement. But after a while, every time I opened the Bible, it was always a condemning message. Everything was just judgmental. The enemy just reminded me of my past, the decisions I had made that were bad, and everything was just wrong, wrong, wrong. But thank God for my husband. He just remained positive. And I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, sometime in the end of October, I got a touch from heaven. I had stopped reading my Bible, so I wasn't getting any word. But somehow, I don't know if it was a dream or an experience. I had so many strange experiences that's by the side. But I had this experience. It was almost like I had been invited for like a beautiful ball dinner. And I went there and everyone was beautifully dressed. But I had gone there looking so unkempt and I was wearing rags. But I couldn't see myself. And all of a sudden, someone called my name and the spotlights were on me. And immediately I looked down and I thought, why am I wearing this here? And just instantly, it was like the host of heavens just came down and they just beautified me. And I just looked back and I thought, wow. And I was wondering, and then the Holy Spirit just ministered to me and said, forget the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. And after that, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a dream, but I had that experience. It was so real. And I just kept on holding to that word. And then the Holy Spirit said, you know, at the entrance of light, darkness flees. And those were the two scriptures I kept on holding onto. Everything in the house was upside down, but I refused to just see that. I just kept on looking at what the picture I wanted of my home, of my children. And that was what, you know, took me through this. It was just one good thing after the other. I just kept on confessing those words daily and daily. And then, you know, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation may be. It could be depression. It could be an illness. It could be envy, jealousy, whatever it is that the enemy has sort of cast over you. I just wanted to encourage you that at the entrance of light, darkness flees. No matter how dark it is, all you just need is light. It doesn't have to be floodlights. You just need light. And once you have that light, hold on to the word of God. Look for a scripture that sort of applies to what you're going through. And I tell you, God is always there, you know, wanting to take off the cloud, take off the dark clouds, and, you know, bring in light to your life. I'm so grateful to the church, because at the time, we used to come to the church every now and again, but thank you for everyone that prayed with us, everyone that brought a meal, everyone that offered to take my little daughter for a walk, because I think angels were just taking care of her, because sometimes she wouldn't have a bath for days and I was just tired. And I just thank God, because even at home, when I started getting better, I would tell my husband, why are the pillows looking so dirty? Why is the fridge looking like you haven't cleaned it? You know, I started noticing terrible things in the house that had been like that for months, but I just couldn't see it. I just thank God for the light that he brought into our family and for the beautiful things that he's also doing for us. And I look forward to 2016. There's this short song I would like to sing. I don't know if I don't know if I've gone over time, but just please, I had told God I was going to do it. Singing is not my best strength, but if you know the song, please join sing along. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and I know he touched me and made me whole.
Wow, Nikki, you've got to follow that. Right, we've got one more, so let's give a round of applause to Nikki. Come on.
I came to Grace Church 2 years ago for the Freedom in Christ discipleship course, which has totally transformed me and changed my life. When I came on the course, I was not even a part of this church, and you welcomed me with open arms, so welcoming, so accepting. You accepted me just as I was. I was broken, wrapped up in a world of lies. Freedom in Christ teaches you who you are in Christ. You are loved, accepted, secure, and significant. These things I couldn't believe or accept at the time. I believed I was beyond help and undeserving of love. I came here hoping to break out of the same cycles and bad patterns of thoughts and behaviour. And yet God has done so much more than I could ever imagined. This journey for me hasn't been an easy one. I was pretty messed up due to my past experiences, my upbringing, and all the lies I believed about myself. They kind of went against God's truth, what God says, and how he sees me. And yet, I can stand in truth. I stand here today in truth. I know who I am in Christ and all that he has done for me. Ali and Lois have been a massive part of this journey, and God brought me here, providing me with a safe place and these amazing people who have helped me to see and understand God's truth. I will always be thankful to them and to this church, but most importantly to God, who gives me this freedom, who chose me before time began, and who loves me more than words can say. God will never leave us. God never will abandon you. He is our healer, our saviour, our friend, and he loves us, each and every one of us, with an everlasting love.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. It's great, isn't it, to hear what God has done in each one of our lives, really, and for those eight that we've heard from today. And you know that throughout the year, you don't have to wait till the first week of January to give your testimony. Come and let us know. You know, I'd love to hear testimonies all the time, and I'd love to tell my own too. But do come and let us know, because it'd be good. You know, we can make space for it. We started at the beginning, didn't we? And we read how Paul, he started off his letter, he thanked God for the Philippian church, and that gave him confidence that he had begun a good work in that church, would follow it on through his completion. And for every single one of us here in this room who knows Jesus as their saviour, God has started something in you. He has done something in you, and he will follow that on for you to completion. And if you don't know him, well, then you can do. And he can start that good work even today. So come on, let's stand together. Like Paul, we might not all be physically in chains or physically trapped, but sometimes our circumstances can make us feel that way. And yet, we have a God who promises never to leave us or forsake us, and it's him that we put our trust in. It's him that all of these guys, that's what they have in common. His grace and his faith in them to do the good work that he started. So I'm going to pray and we're going to worship and thank God. Looking forward to the new year for 2016. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to hear and to see all that God's going to do in all our lives throughout this year. So let's pray and we'll worship. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are an amazing healer, amazing saviour. Thank you, Lord, for all these testimonies that we've heard today. Lord, thank you for all the different ways in which you have broken through. Lord God, you have broken through emotionally. You've broken through, Lord God, through healing. You've broken through by blessing people with children. Lord, you've broken through in all sorts of different ways. Lord God, you've revealed yourself in dreams and visions. Lord, you've provided jobs. Lord, you have done an amazing things. Lord, all that work that you, not just that you're doing here in the UK, but out in Turkey too. Lord, you are doing an amazing thing. Lord, you are about a good work. And we trust in you, Lord. We look forward to 2016 and we worship you. Lord, you are so worthy to be praised. And so we love you. We honor you. And we praise your name. Amen.